Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for allowing us to continue on down the path of getting to know you, to growing to maturity, to coming to love you in a relationship that is beyond our wildest dreams. We thank you for your scriptures, and we ask for understanding today, for clarity, so we can further see what you would have us know in our lives, and also to have us what our role is to serve you, better serve you in the world. We thank you for these things, and we ask for your guidance in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So we're on number 8, the book of Job, benefits of suffering. And if you remember last time, we noted that if we simply acknowledge God in everything we do, that makes a world of difference. And what we were talking about at that point was specifically is suffering. If we acknowledge, I know it's hard to pay attention when we are in suffering, but that's what part of the issue is it's a concentration factor. There's a love factor. There's a factor that comes into play as your priorities within the suffering. And that acknowledgement is a result of all those things. So it's a matter of who do you seek for those solutions. So we saw that. And if we do that, we noted that he will make our path straight. So that's that straight path of recognizing and also to taking heed of God's word. That was a good concept. And I was thinking about it, and as Christians, one of our concerns is doing things that are pleasing to the Lord. You know, we have a desire to be pleasing to the Lord, and this is one of those things, one of the many things. There's many commands and imperatives in the scripture, and one of them is do everything as unto the Lord. So, and when we can do that, looking back on the past, it isn't as painful and regretful when you look back and you can see the decisions that you made then as unto the Lord versus not. You can see him guiding you. You can see that you weren't in control at all. You can see that he moved you to a position where you are now. And a lot of times we don't even know how you got there. But he got you here. And it's just by acknowledging and following and being a faithful believer. So keep it up, because God is putting light along your path in life. And I truly believe that, and I understand that to be true according to the scriptures. He will illuminate your paths, and he will show you, even though he may not vocally tell you that, his scriptures tell us that. And that comes true in your mind, in your thoughts, and through making right decisions in life. That's really what guides you. Because when you think with the mind of Christ, that's your guidance. That is your thought process and your path, is thinking with his thoughts. And we can't do that, of course, without being in fellowship, but it just goes to show you the power of simply taking words from Scripture and just thinking with them. That's how powerful they are. They will not only direct your life, but they will allow you to be successful as a Christian. We call that divine guidance. God does guide. He very strongly guides you if you're willing to be guided. And I think that's the main part of it, is are we willing to be guided? We can look back and say, no, I wasn't then, or I wasn't at this point, but I think we are now. We're willing and open to where God wants to take us. And that could be anywhere, believe it or not. Be open. Be open to where he leads you, because he'll lead you in some places where you're unsure. You're not as confident as you were before. And you're being expanded to your capacity level. And that takes faith. So when you get there, you get to that point in the road and you have all the signs on all the other roads say close, 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 and this one says open, go this way, don't be scared. Because there's nothing to it and if you stay doing what you are doing. Growing in faith and relying on God. So, if you remember that Elihu was talking sense into Job last time we left off. He was kind of the friend that had been hanging back, listening, and he didn't agree with anybody. And he told Job that. He said, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with the three friends. Y'all are all wrong. And this is why. And so he's got some good things to say. And one of his problems with Job's argument was Job was saying that God was silent. And he did not reply or rescue him. And Elihu's response was that God does speak very loudly. And the examples that he brought up was that he speaks through the circumstances of life. And you can know that's a fact of life because it goes right along with your divine guidance. What happens in your life is no accident. So those are the things that we brought out last time, and that's an important thing to remember because as Christians, we do have a sense of purpose. And our purpose comes from wherever you find yourself. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, that's your purpose. And many times we look for another purpose. But we have to stay focused on the purpose where we find ourselves and where we're at currently in our lives. Because there's work to be done there. There's things that God wants you to do and see and be able to glorify Him within those situations. So don't be so fast at running or leaving, you know, the job unfinished. And if Job was aware of that from the get-go, from his purpose, which he, you know, he was at the beginning, and then he kind of dropped off on that. I mean, you can imagine. Can you blame him? He's human. And look at all the things that happened to him. But it is possible. It is possible to make right decisions consistently more than not. I believe that. But I think Job is a magnified case we're getting here for a reason. We won't ever experience this much pain and suffering, or maybe we will. But the point still remains that God is merciful. God is faithful no matter at what point you get within that suffering. Rejecting, turning away, running, going down another path. It shows you, it's showing you God's character. It's not really meant to show us Job. Although Job, we know he was a great Christian starting out. We know he was a faithful believer. All we can see through Job is the imperfection of man. And we know that. So we know we're going to fail. But I think we're really meant to see God's character in this. And God, remember, He placed Job on the center stage. He put him right in the middle, right in front. And our main purpose in the Christian life, as you well know, is to glorify God. We are to show where we're imperfect, we're weak, we can't do it by ourselves, and then He puts you on the stage. Because He knows. You know where the power is. You know where the strength is. And you're meant to display that. You're meant to put that on display while you're in that stage, in that purpose in your life. You're meant to show His character and His essence through your life. And that's really what the Christian life is about. It's about, you know, exchange. That, remember that exchange process we talked about, the physical to the spiritual? My weakness for His power. That's that exchange process. And Job, that there was a hard time coming to that understanding, but you can see that it's still a necessity. It doesn't change just because whatever we're going through, it shouldn't change the fact that we know that. That's our responsibility as Christians, to always get back on track. We will fail. We will make bad decisions, but we should always have it in us to get back. Come back on path. Get back on track. And so that's your great purpose because there's so much more that we don't see, that we don't realize, that we, you know, the ins and outs and the details of even just the people you're around and how they are affected by your service to the Lord. We don't know the answers to all these things, but we just need to know that all we have to keep track of is getting on track, staying on track, and if we get off, to get back on. Very simple. And so you may find yourself on that center stage. And so what happens is you find yourself also in a position to represent God. And it's a matter of, what do we do with this? What do we do? We could see that Job wasn't representing God well throughout, at least throughout the adversity. But the bottom line is, you can't take everything on yourself. You can't do it. I mean, we should know that by now. We cannot take on this life alone. You can't do it. You can't. I mean, it's impossibility, but, you know, we get that bright idea that we can. Maybe things are going good. Maybe things are going smooth, and we got to get a little confidence, and all of a sudden we find ourselves looking around with no help. Well, we've decided to go down that road with no help. But it's always there waiting for us. It's just a matter of getting back. So we can't do it on our own. I know that's what the world will tell you, and that's actually what they promote. It's all about you. It's about what you can do, and it's about your power, about what you're capable of doing in the flesh, and you're in control of this life and this world. Actually, it's just the opposite. We should allow God to be all those things for us. And Job saw that, because once he took back the reins, where was he? He was lost. He was completely lost in his life. And that just kept going into that snowball thing, where one bad decision at the get-go led to many, many more. And that's how it goes in the Christian life. Usually one bad decision will get you out of fellowship, and then what comes after that? Additional bad decisions. So it's not rocket science, but it always means that we do have a solution. We always have a solution. All of us have that way, that right path to go back to. So you've never gone too far. Don't even think that, because we'll see a verse here later in Job that says God does not deny or reject anyone. So that's an important concept, because when we look around at people and we see people that seem to be doing really, really bad, God rejects no one. So how does that work into what's happening there? I mean, maybe we can talk about some of that. Because Elihu, what he's trying to do here is he's bringing out different parts of God's character as he's speaking to Job. And part of the character that he brings out is justice, God's justice. God is just, because that was one of the claims by Job. It's not fair, basically, right? God, how can you do this? Where are you at? This is unfair type of thing. So Elihu wanted to bring out God's justice, and he did. So, and part of this thing about representation, that's why we have the bulletin on ambassadorship. Part of this deal about representation is there's also another side of that, and it's called misrepresentation. So we have to be very sure and secure and have the feeling of urgency when it comes to where we're at in our adversity. Because we can be in limbo for extremely too long when we're not representing the Lord in the circumstances. We can very easily do that. And one of the problems with that is it not only puts a bad example on God of your representation of Him, but it also affects other people in negative ways. You have an effect. You have an impact. God isn't affected. Nothing can be taken away or added to God by our actions. But it's about representation. It's about that witness aspect, the ambassadorship. Remember, we represent God before the people. So part of that means you set the example. You set the example. And that has to do with behavior. Not self-righteous behavior, but God's righteous behavior. What is right? What is fair? What is just? Does that come out in our character? Is that how we deal with other people? What is love? Is that correctly portrayed through the Scripture, through our lives? You know, all these things that we need to take into account, because once we start to drop certain parts of the essence, the bubble of integrity gets compromised. God's bubble of integrity is never compromised. It's always solid. Every single piece of His personality is firing at the same time. You can't have just justice without the righteousness of it. And we are growing to come to that understanding that that has to think that way. That's part of who God is. He's not just this part all love and no discipline. We know that, right? So, but that's the way some people think of God. But it's just not true. We've got to take Scripture for what it is and bring it all into the whole bubble of who is He? What is His integrity? Because we don't want to misrepresent. We don't want to misrepresent Him. Because think about what Job's doing. He's, God is unfair. Well, if there's a lot of unbelievers around you, you see the impact? If there's a weak believer around you, he'll even say, yeah, you know what? You're right, man. He doesn't know what's going on. You know, he's just following you. You're supposed to be the lead here. People look to you. Well, they know you're doing something in that church. They don't know what it is. That little old bitty church might have some snakes in there, rattlesnakes or something. They don't know what you're doing in here. But the point about it is they know you're doing something and it's different. And they know your life is a reflection of your intake of what's happening in the church. It's not from some self-help system. It's from the Word. It's from the Word of God. And that changes you and it affects other people. So when you go into a situation where you are meant to be the spokesperson, or you are supposed to be the mediator, or you are just supposed to be the polite person that is taking a general role. You know, those things, when those things happen, you've got to think and you've got to stay in fellowship, because we're setting examples that we have no idea how they impact other people. People aren't where you are spiritually. So they'll take certain things that aren't a big deal to you and they're a big deal to them. So these little bitty things that we just brush to the side, oh, that wasn't a big deal. You know, I just said this or I said that or I didn't do this or I didn't do that. They're a big deal. Because if we're not setting the bar high for ourselves, well, then what are we doing? There's only one bar and there's only one level. It's up there, right? It's not a stepladder. It's either righteous or not. So it's either a switch. It's on or off. Where are we at in that? Are we on or are we off? So, and of course, suffering, we've been seeing is to our benefit. But think about how we have the opportunity to maximize that benefit. The unbeliever does not have this option. It's suffering is suffering, and that's it. The believer, it's encouraging to me to know that even in suffering, we can maximize and flip the switch to something that is beneficial to us. Think about not having that option. I mean, you just go through it and that's it. You could think of it as divine discipline to the unbeliever until he gets to the point of making that decision for salvation. He can't do anything to make that better outside of himself except accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. That's all they can do except go through the suffering and try to just patch, heal, band-aid, you know, put, I mean, you name it, they can try it, but it's all in the human realm and it's all what? Temporary. It's all temporary. It's not going to last. So the only thing that lasts is becoming a believer in Jesus Christ. That's eternal. That's that relationship that you're all in. And the only reason I'm saying that is to say that we have options. We have options. And that's an awesome thing. That should be encouraging to you, because it's not just, you know, doom and gloom in the adversity. There is big time purpose and big time meaning for you in your life and how that affects others. And we've got to start thinking like that, because if we don't, we'll be not motivated to go on in the spiritual life, because we have our eyes on just the suffering. That's not what we're referring to. That's not what the story of Job is about. It's about bringing out who God is. We need to bring out who God is wherever we are and however bad our situation we may find ourselves in. So these are all Christian responsibilities when it comes to our ambassadorship. And, you know, you think of the priesthood, we're all individual priests before God. And all that means is that we represent ourselves before God. We know that. But then you have the ambassadorship side that represents God before the people. That's through you. See how you can't have one without the other? Your personal relationship with Christ always comes first before you can be any kind of example on the other side. If you want to be any kind of ambassador, you've got to have something to think with to be an example with, right? You got to have the contents to be able to be set that example. So when you think about what an ambassador is, it's someone that goes, you know, to another country and is usually a high-ranking government official. And it's someone that's not going to put a bad name on their country when they go visit or they go communicate or they go do business in somewhere that's not their home country. They are representing their home. Well, last I checked, we're all citizens of heaven. We're not citizens of anything here, because this stuff is temporary. We're here and then we're gone. So if we're citizens of heaven, guess who where we're representing? The spiritual, the eternal, God Himself. So there's multiple things going on here, you know, when you think about just the Christian suffering. It's not really about Job or us in the suffering. It's about setting the example. It's about following God's word, even when things get difficult. And also it's about representation of self and others that is always directed back to God. Always. So you just have to perk up a little bit when we talk about the Christian potential in suffering. We've got to, because there's so much grace there and there's so much that we have, even in a world that has so much pain, difficulty, suffering, and sin, we've got all these things. So the alternative is, as you know, not good. It's not good. But we just have to begin to kind of exploit the suffering. That's really what we're doing. We're taking it for what it is. We find ourselves in these situations and we're taking advantage of all the benefits involved. You know, it's like you get into a new program somewhere and you don't realize all the benefits. You kind of have to learn about the system, learn about how things work, and you start to learn about all the benefits, whether it be in a school, military, government. You don't know all the benefits. But guess what we've been learning about? The benefits. This is something we know where to go to and how to make happen through the Holy Spirit. And it's wide open. It's not even that we have to fill out a form and wait in a line. It's no waiting list. It's just come right up and enjoy the benefits. So there's a lot of potential here. So, and think about what Job and we do when things start to hurt. And I haven't really talked about this. I did a little bit, but I think it's a good thing to mention because we do it. The instant thing that we want is change. We want to change, don't we? Oh, it's hot. I want change. Or I want to move over a little bit. I want to go this way. I want to go that way. It's painful. I want change. But see, you have to seriously consider what we are wanting to change, what we are wanting to change. Because if it just gets you out from under the physical or mental suffering, that is really chump change compared to what we've been discussing. And it's actually detracting from what you are doing in your spiritual life. That's the majority of what's happening in our world. Christians are growing and they're getting to a point in their life where they get a little bit of adversity and they jump from adversity to adversity to adversity because they keep moving out. They're grown up, but they don't want to do what we've been talking about here, relying on God and playing Christian ball. They don't want to do it. They don't want to represent God within the serpent. They just want change. They want to back out. They want to go to Florida in the winter and then go to, you know, here in the summer. They do that. Everything is always smooth, calm, no pressure, get out of adversity. That's how most of the world works. But that's not what we're called to do. That's not what we are called to do as Christians. One of the things, the main things that we're called to do is to suffer. Is to suffer. So we've just got to get used to doing it well. We have to get used to doing it well. Because you can keep running from it. You can keep changing your position, changing jobs, changing wives, changing husbands, changing kids, you name it. Getting new kids, I guess I should say. None of it's going to work. It's only going to get where you're going to have a new problem, a new difficulty, a new something new. And if you keep running and you look back on all this running you've been doing from these issues, what do you have left? There's no growth. There's no persevering in your, there's no endurance. There's no glorifying God. There's no example. And you're left with that empty backpack. Because we're meant to be packing our bags, remember? And if you keep jumping from, you know, it's too hot, I got to go, that's not your calling. You are being called to walk into these things with boldness. Not because of what we can do or what we have or what we, you know, because of what we have available to us through God. That's what we're called to do. So get good at it. So change. I can understand that because change is normal. It's a normal human way of thinking when the going gets tough. It's normal. We have nerves that feel pain. We have a brain that feels mental pain. We have all these things that, you know, when we get in these situations, we want to go. But, you know, we've got to reconsider. We have to reconsider. Because I like the way Martin had a good example the other day. You know, we're not going to, we were talking about suffering, and he said that it's kind of like, reminds me of practice, football practice. He said, you know, no one's going to go unless they're made to go. And it's true. No one's really going to step off into suffering because they need to grow spiritually. No, you have to be made to go. You got to be made to put in these situations so you get better, so you're glorifying God, so you can play in the game, right? You've got to go to practice, and that is our practice in the Christian way of life. It's suffering, it's testing, it's difficulty, but that's why we're here. You don't want to backtrack. You don't want to say, I don't want all this. It's not worth it. It's worth it. It is infinitely worth it. It's eternally worth it. You just keep going because we're not here forever. Don't forget that. All these things that you're doing now are going to carry over to your eternal future. Then what you did now lasts for eternity. That's blessings. That's those little bitty decisions that you made within that suffering are going to count. And they do count. God keeps track of glorifying and making right decisions. The little bitty things that we think mean absolutely nothing when we're in them. We're thinking, oh, this isn't a big deal. It's huge. It is huge. Those little decisions of sacrificing self versus what does God want me to do? What does God have? What does He say about it? Yeah, I know what I want to do. I want to bail out of here. But what does He want me to do? He wants me to endure and glorify Him right there. So that's what we do. That's what we do. And what happens as a result of that? You're setting the example. You're setting the example. You're growing. And what comes around the corner? Blessings. God is not going to just leave you on this earth with a whole bunch of capacity and not be able to rev you up with blessings to be able to enjoy that. But we have to be able to handle those. I'm talking about physical blessings. If you know, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm just telling you, if we have the capacity to handle certain things, God will give them to you. There is no doubt in my mind. He will give them to you. So we have to be in this spot where we just hunker down and maybe even have a little fun in suffering. It is possible to be in pain, difficulty, suffering, and have a different, completely different mindset than what's happening physically. That's when you are actually set free from the suffering. That's when you have actually passed that test of suffering. When it's different up here than it is out here, or even inside your body. You know, the soul and the spirit are much more powerful in God Himself than what's happening in us. They are. So, don't bounce from change to change to change to change. You know there's benefit. And you're just cutting yourself short. So, and you know, there's a lot of questions that always people wonder is why don't they have the bigger and the better? This is why. It's because they're not applying God's word when the going gets tough. They're not applying it. You can't be a Christian and not get tested. You can't do it. The part of the Christian life is growth and reliance on God. God has already overcome. So if we're going to overcome, we have to be tested, So ask yourself which is better, to bail out, look for something that is easier, or everything that we mentioned. Wow, look at that. You look how far you've gotten on your slides. First one. So, I don't plan these things. I'm just here. So, 1 Peter 1:3. Let me read this to you. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved for you in heaven, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." Isn't that the truth? But look, don't discount the little while. It's just a little while. It's just a little while. We're talking about inheritance now. A salvation with a lot of great things that come behind it. And it's saying, even if you just have to suffer for a little while, and it is necessary. And then look at verse 7. "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and honor or glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with the joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Did you hear what faith is? Proof of your faith? It's more precious than gold. It's imperishable. So, and the result is what? Praise, glory, honor. Everybody wants a little praise. Think about in eternity. Think about a praise and honor and glory that is actually justified and righteous before God. That's the kind that we want. We don't want this worldly stuff that's temporary. We want the lasting things. Praise, glory, and honor. If you've never had the opportunity to be the CEO of a, you know, Fortune 500 company, here's your opportunity right here. We have every opportunity. God is allowing us to go to the top. There is no doubt in my mind. And you're no different from anybody else making decisions like every other person. If you want to be a CEO in heaven, have at it. Because God is letting you get to the top. He's allowing you to live just for that reason. There's going to be distinguishing factors up there. And part of it is how much responsibility he gives you in heaven. What are you going to rule over? Are you going to rule with Christ in the millennium? Or are you just going to be a spectator? Well, it depends on you. It depends on what we want as believers in Jesus Christ. And then we already went through that one. So, and that just goes back to, you know, looking to get out of suffering. Look what we get out of. This is the praise, the glory, the imperishable things. That's what we're backing out of. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Let's remember this conversation and have a talk about it when we get in heaven. Because we need to remember what we're talking about now, and I want to talk about it when we get on the other side. And we'll say, you know what? Those things, they do count. They did and they do. Even then and now. And we'll be able to have a little more detail about what we're, you know, we'll actually see what God was doing and why he did it. So, imperishable. So you shouldn't have any hesitation, is all I'm getting to when it comes to suffering. Don't hesitate. Because the benefit is only yours to be grabbed, to be grasped. Can you imagine if you were in a desert and without food or water for 40 days and had an opportunity to bail out of that suffering? Turn stones into bread right there and eat? Be pretty tempting, I'll tell you that much. When you could actually do that, let's say you had all the materials in a cabinet. Well, Jesus could just like that. He was human, and he was hungry and thirsty and being tempted. But he didn't. What was it? Let's look at his answer. This is what he answered Satan. He said, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It's not about food. It's not about keeping me going. It's not about feeling better. It's about the Word of God. That's what basically his answer was. I don't live on food alone. I live on the sustaining ministry of God's Word. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So how about instead of looking to change the situation like Job did, that's why I brought it up, we just realize the greatness and staying in the circumstances that God has placed you in. And then look, go further, look to get comfortable. Be content. Don't cut yourself short by missing out on those blessings. Essentially, that you realize that's what you're doing. When you move out of that adversity or that pressure in life, you're cutting yourself short from the blessings. Now, if you really would play that out, you'd probably rewind that and say, okay, I'll go ahead and take them. So instead of just, we can't rewind, by the way, though we all think about, yeah, if I could just go back to this point right here. No. But we can make that decision from now on out. Say, I want to take full advantage of that. Doesn't mean go break a leg or something on purpose. It just means when God presents you with an opportunity of testing in your life, go into it. Walk into it with confidence that He's going to protect you and guide you along the way. And you can be completely different up here than you are with everything around you. So, and this was actually one of the questions Job asked God. He said, what do I gain by not sinning? Although he was a bit confused, he says, what do I gain by not sinning? He's off in left field. He's thinking, I did nothing wrong, and what am I gaining? I didn't even sin. Everything. You've got everything to gain by living righteously. Everything. We just saw the praise, glory, honor. And that's kind of a loaded question because he was out of fellowship. But what he's referring to is, what benefit is there to someone who is righteous in God's eye? And the answer is everything that we've talked about. So his question was really completely invalid. And then I'm going to end on this. I referred to this earlier, that this is one of the things that you're called to do. Philippians 1:29, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in Him, but also suffer for His sake. 1 Peter 4:1, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So it's a protection. It's a protection to you and your spiritual growth. And lastly, Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. I mean, there's verse after verse that talk about being suffering and being glorified with God. So we'll pick up with Job 35 when we come back from the break. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for the chance, the opportunity, just the ability to function on this earth and to live according to Your plan, according to Your word. And we thank You so much for our entry point into the spiritual life, which was through Jesus Christ, through faith. We know that faith is made a reality only because of what He did on the cross. He died on the cross. He paid for the penalty of our sin, and that is something that was purchased on our behalf, not because of anything that we could do, but it was given to us as a gift, and because God loved us, and because of His grace. The Scripture tells us that we've been saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves. It's a gift, so that we can't boast about it. And we just are so thankful for that, and we just want to boast in Jesus Christ, because we know that He is the reason we are here. We thank You for just having salvation so readily available and easily accepted. And we just ask that You continue to guide our congregation in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
my soul.